Vampires, a connection to Terminator 2, plus Incubus weighs in on their contribution to the stealth soundtrack. Sort of. All this and more on today's How Did This Get Made mini-episode. Hit the theme!
How did this get made? How did this get made?
It's a tiny little taste of How Did This Get Made. Hop on the hope line so Paul can explain omissions, corrections, and our next film selections. This is the spot where all that goes, but it's not long enough, so it's a mini-sode.
How did this get made? Mini-sode. How did this get made? Mini-sode. How did this get made? Mini-sode. How did this get made? Mini-sode.
Holy shit, we have a theme. Look at that. That is courtesy of Super Grover, who uploaded that song on SoundCloud. A bunch of you actually did, and I appreciate that. If you want to upload a song anytime, we will play it here on the mini episode or on the real episodes. Who cares? We love to have your music on our shows. What's up, dum-dums? It's me, Paul Scheer, and welcome to the How Did This Get Made mini episode, where I tell you all the info that you need for next week's podcast and all the things that you might have missed from last week's episode, the Jamie Foxx naval film Stealth. But first, there's so much to talk about. I want to tell you that if you're going to come see us in Largo, at Largo in October, we are totally and completely sold out, the 8 and 10 o'clock shows. I will announce the movies for those shows a week before the actual shows happen. Plus, if you're coming out to see us in Anaheim at the Now Hear This Festival, you can now buy one-day tickets. You don't have to buy for the entire festival. If you're just coming down from LA for one day, you can do that. Just go to nowhearthisfest.com, nowhearthisfest.com to get your one-day tickets. We are performing the Saturday of that festival, the last show of the night. I have more info on that coming up in a bit. Now, I want to hear from you. You ask me Q's and I give you A's. It is time for the Explanation Hope Line.
The Explanation Hope Line.
Why sit down and write this letter?
The Explanation Hope Line.
Because I need there to be less shade.
The Explanation Hope Line.
On the show.
That's right. You all called me on this amazing number that we have set up here. It is 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. You've asked me questions about the film Stealth. You've pointed out things that we missed in the film Stealth. Let's get right into it with our friend Matt from Iowa, who pulled a little bit of a Blake J. Harris and got an exclusive interview with Incubus. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. This is Matt from Iowa. Big fan of the show. Have to say that I have to disagree with Jason that the Stealth plane has bad taste in music, as I'm a big Incubus fan. That being said, I got to actually meet the band prior to a show at a meet and greet not too long after the release of the movie. Having bought the soundtrack and not seen the movie, and I heard how poor it was, the only question I was able to ask the band was, had you seen this movie prior to writing the music for it? And they all exclaimed no and shouted as though they were incredibly embarrassed by the movie. But the bass player did point out, hey, gotta love that Jessica Biel waterfall scene, right? Hey guys, keep it up. Love the show.
Well, that is absolutely perfect. Actually, I can't think of a better response from Incubus than they think Jessica Biel is hot. You know what? I am a fan of Incubus now based on that answer. Thank you, Matt, for getting to the bottom of that at a meet and greet. If you ever go to a meet and greet, please ask How Did This Get Made questions. We're guaranteed to play them at one point because they're probably so shocked that you're asking them about the Stealth soundtrack. Well, let's get into something that we really missed. Andrew, our friend, brought up something that I didn't even know happened until I heard his call. Andrew, tell me what we missed.
Hey, Paul, this is Andrew from Canton, Ohio. First time, long time. I just wanted to point out that at the end of the movie, when you've gone through all of the credits, there is a scene where the stealth plane is in like a scrap heap and it powers back on. So I was wondering if Blake had uncovered anything in his research that might have indicated that there was initially a plan for a sequel. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks. Have a good day.
Yes, there is a post-credit scenes a la Marvel films in this movie where Eddie becomes alive. You can watch it on YouTube. You don't have to watch the whole movie again. You don't have to rent it again. Just Google like post-credit scene stealth. It's on YouTube, and it's as exciting as it sounds. And we actually have a great theory about that post-credit scene coming up. But thank you, Andrew, for bringing that to our attention. We would have missed it because I hit the stop button as soon as humanly possible. Let's hear from our friend Max, who is shutting down my theory about the type of food that they eat in Reno. Max, what do you got to tell me?
Hey, Paul. My name is Max. I'm calling from Reno, Nevada. I had to pause the episode just to let you know that sushi is immensely popular in Reno for some reason. Can't say for the rest of the state, but there are about 40 sushi restaurants just in Reno alone. So I guess we're close enough to the coast to keep it fresh. Love the show.
I would have never have guessed that sushi is big in Reno. I guess it makes sense. It's not that far from LA, but man, the helicopter costs or the driving costs. Well, next time I'm in Reno, please, Max, buy me some sushi. I will go out and I will test this sushi with you. 40 restaurants, that's more than I think there are in my vicinity of LA. So that means that Reno might be the sushi capital of the United States. I'm not positive about that. Somebody please do some research on it. You know, in the past, I talked about recording shows and listening to the movies on my Walkman. When I was a kid, it was all about Running Scared, and it was all about Beverly Hills Cop. Our good friend, he didn't leave his name, wants to ask me a question about that right now.
Hey, Paul. I have a question for you. Now that you're older and wiser, what movie dialogue would you record and listen to on your Walkman? Love the show.
Ooh, that's a really good question. And I'm thinking about it, and it's tough. I don't know. All right, you know what? I'm going to say it because it just came to my mind. I think I would watch or listen to The Lobster. I think The Lobster, the movie with Colin Farrell, is great, by the way. If you haven't seen The Lobster, definitely check out The Lobster. Basic idea of it is a man checks into a hotel where he needs to find love in 40 days. If he doesn't, he is turned into an animal, and you get to pick the animal. Not you. He gets to pick the animal he wants to be. It's weird. It's really well done. It's great. John C. Reilly's in it. He's also equally great. Check out The Lobster. But I think that would be a good one to listen to because it's actually really well written. And there's not a lot of things you need to see because I think as I get older now, I want to be able to know what's going on. And probably there's a part of me that would want to put Force Awakens on there too, but I don't know. Okay. And finally, I want to talk to our good friend from Santa Monica who... Well, I'll just let her take it away.
Hey, Paul. This is Brenda from Santa Monica. Going back in time to Anaconda, you guys made a really big deal about snakes not eating people. Well, I have a correction for you. My cousin's friend had this boa constrictor that she loved very dearly and used to sleep curled up at her feet every night. Fast forward a couple years, the snake has stopped eating. It's you know, just not eating food, and she gets worried. And around the same time, the snake starts lying out next to her instead of going at her feet. So she takes the snake to the vet and talks about the not eating, and the vet's like, that's weird. Any other behavior? And she says, oh, well, now that you mention it, the snake is lying next to me. And the vet goes, holy shit, get rid of that snake. And she's like, my precious snake, what do you mean? Well, guess what? The snake was starving itself so that it could fit her in its stomach and laid itself out next to her so that it would measure to make sure that she fit. The snake that she loved since she was a child was a stone-cold killer, just like Anaconda. So, yeah, snakes eat. Great job on the show. Bye.
Okay. Okay, if you're like me, you are freaking out in your car, at your workplace, at the gym, wherever you are, in your bed right now, making love to your guy or your gal, and you're freaking out because this is an urban myth. This has not happened to your friend. Snopes this shit, okay? This is as much as an urban myth as you can get. You have been duped. This has not happened to your friend. Your snake was not sizing them up and not eating. Oh, you know what? They say things about people in Santa Monica. You've proved them right. But you know what? I'm going to give you a second chance. Go and confront your friend about this because they are a straight up liar, okay? Snakes... They lied to you, and you fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. All right, that is it. Snake, that is not a true story. Okay, thank you, everybody, for calling the Exclamation Hope Line. You know how it works. If we didn't play your message this week, it is gone. It's erased from existence. So call us back again at 619-PAUL-ASK. Next week, you can ask me questions about the movie we watch. You can ask me just general questions. Anything and everything is on the docket. That's what I'm going to say. It's on the docket. But now we have to talk about some important stuff. We are going from the villainous AI in Stealth to a villainous HS in Vampire Academy. That's right. We saw Vampire Academy. Wait, what? Yes, this is a newer movie. You'd be surprised. This came out like in the last year or two. Just listen to the trailer.
When was the last time you ate?
Are you sure about this?
Bon appetit.
Thanks. What are friends for?
I should probably point out that my best friend, Lyssa Dragomir, is a royal member of an ancient race. And yeah, like most creatures with fangs, they live off blood. My name is Rose Hathaway, and I've been sworn to protect the royal bloodline with my life.
Rose Hathaway is wild, dangerous.
Insubordinate.
Right here, folks.
I heard you were good at taking on two guys at once.
And this is Vampire Academy.
Back off, blood whore. He's mine now.
God, I hate high school.
Lyssa is a possible successor to the throne.
I don't know what's gonna happen tonight. Let's make tonight our bitch.
There's a bigger threat still out there.
Let's just keep our heads down and stay under the radar.
How's that under the radar plan working out, Highness?
Not so much.
The female, especially one who lives off of blood and magic, is going to have her mood swings.
Holy shit. This movie, it's like if they took every Harry Potter book and crammed it into one movie, but Harry Potter wasn't as cool as Harry Potter and it was more like Twilight. This movie is so confused. It's part, what was that movie we saw that took place in Boston about the male witches? It's all of that. It's awesome. Vampire Academy. Oh boy, you are in for a treat. I cannot wait to watch this with you. Vampire Academy is described on IMDb as simply as this. Rose Hathaway is a dampier, a half-human half-vampire, a guardian of the Moreau, a peaceful mortal vampires living discreetly within our world. Her calling is to protect the Moreau from bloodthirsty immortal vampires called the Strigogi. Yes, so there you go. You can get this film. It's available on YouTube, iTunes, Amazon Video, Vudu, Google Play, all for $2.99. That's a bargain. I love that. Here's the deal, people. 2 weeks in a row, we have struck out with our good old friend Blake J. Harris. Blake, normally getting to the bottom of all these movies, but because when they're a little bit more current, they're a little bit harder to get people to talk about. Maybe he should have reached out to Incubus. Maybe he should have gone to a meet and greet. I don't know, but it's not for lack of trying. Blake tried, and as hard as he did, I would say that the guests were like Stealth. You couldn't see them, and they couldn't be found. Okay, people, here we go. We talked a lot about Stealth already. Let's talk about it some more in a little segment I like to call Corrections and Omissions.
Hey, Paul, I love the show, and I don't mean to put you in an awkward position, but we've got a few corrections and omissions.
Welcome to Corrections and Omissions. Here's how it works. You go to earwolf.com. You leave your corrections and omissions on our message board. These are things that we messed up, things we goofed about, or things that we didn't even bring up. It's your chance to tell us, hey, motherfucker, I was right, you were wrong, or I'm smarter than you. And as we all know, that is what the internet is about. So let's get into it. Of course, we will start off with our good friend, Louis Jab. Louis Jab, he goes, for all of its supposed ability to learn, Eddie makes wild assumptions based on noticing something once. Josh Lucas disobeyed an order on a very specific situation, and suddenly Eddie decides that it knows the right time to disobey orders. That computer would see someone flip a coin once, and it would be 100% certain that all coin flips land on heads. Fucking Louis Jab. killing it right out the gate. Yeah, the computer isn't learning. It's just following bad behavior. And we all know that that doesn't do anything. It's like a child. He is a child. Chunk Style brings up a point and says, I want to talk about the real villain of the movie, the chief of naval operations who is in charge of guiding the Navy's budget. He was obviously trying to be Pennywise, assigning only one person, Sam Shepard, to be in charge of two separate experimental aircraft programs at the same time. The talent is so rare that there are only three on Earth, so obviously getting that program going is a full-time job. And then he's made responsible for Eddie too? The poor guy was probably working 90 hours a week and ended up committing suicide via voicemail. You know what? I didn't think about that. This movie is so fucking stupid. Wouldn't it have been way better if Sam Shepard was a good guy and then they brought in like another Sam Shepard, like an evil Sam Shepard, and he kind of like killed Sam Shepard or fucked up his team? Then there's some drama. Then there's some conflict. Oh man, Chunk Style, nice. Noticing it all. You guys should write movies. You're so damn good. Cambert. Or Cambert. It's on Cambert like cheese. No, it's Cambert like Q-Bert. I had many problems with this movie, but I want to just take a moment right now to point out how much I hate the title of this movie. Granted, something like Murder Plane wouldn't really work with a $100 million plus budget movie. However, aside from the fact that the planes are stealth fighters, nothing about this movie or any of their missions are stealthy. The first mission starts off stealthy, but then that's blown by Josh Lucas flying down the road and hitting a building. The second mission in Tajikistan, they weren't really stealthy because the terrorists saw them coming and they were fired on almost immediately. Then after they start fighting each other, Josh Lucas's plane loses stealth with half the movie left to go, and before the final mission, Eddie says he too has lost stealth capacities. That leaves me asking, why stealth? Surely there could have been a better name. Yeah, there's no reason. Stealth played such a small part in this movie. It should have been called Smart Plane. How about that? Or AI, I guess that was taken. Or how about Plane Think Real Good? I don't know. Or maybe it should be called Airplane, the serious one. Kit Walker says, did anyone else notice the amazing Terminator 2 link? Oh, I talked about this earlier. Yes, it's most certainly accidental, but Joe Morton appears as the naval captain who for some reason lets Sam Shepard have some alone time so he can do his voicemail suicide. Joe Morton, of course, played Miles Dyson, the engineer who, in Terminator 2, profited from finding the half-destroyed computer chip from Terminator, boosting Cyberdyne Industries and eventually prompting Judgment Day. In that movie, Miles says that even though the chip was damaged, he was able to replicate the advanced technology, thus leading Arnie to track it down and destroy it. I'm skipping a little bit more of his post here. And he goes, at the end of the movie, as we find Eddie's OS, suddenly the red light comes on, signaling that Eddie is alive and might be salvageable. But by this time, rather than by Cyberdyne Industries, the glorious leader himself finds it. Stealth 2, North Korea's got Eddie, and Judgment Day looms. Holy shit. And Jamie Foxx has to be alive in the sequel. I mean, we didn't see him die. I mean, sure, they had a funeral for him, but we didn't see his body. I need to see his body in that naval casket. Jamie Foxx comes back. This is going to be his big movie. I swear to God. You know what? I know he's winning Academy Awards, making all types of the right decisions, but here, he should make the totally wrong one. Cy Casey writes, did anyone else think that Sam Shepard's plan to kill Josh Lucas seemed needlessly complicated? His plane is out of fuel. Just let him crash in the ocean. No fuss, no muss. Instead, he gives him the location of a secret Alaskan airbase, and then rather than having him killed as soon as he lands on the tarmac, they wait to have a phony doctor administer poison with a needle? Everyone at the secret base seems in on the kill Josh Lucas plan, so why not get it over with right away? Instead, they took exactly the right amount of time to let Josh figure out that it was a setup. This seems like a sub-Bond villain plan with none of the usual flair you get in those movies, well below the standard we should expect from the United States Navy. Yeah. Fuck yeah, man. That plan was dumb as shit. They could have killed him right... I mean, by the way, the guy practically died on the tarmac. You could have just ran out there, shot him in the head, and go, yeah, he blew up in the plane, the crash. There's no reason. And the fact that Josh Lucas got rid of that tetanus shot, I still say, is more indicative of the fact that he is a dummy who doesn't want a tetanus shot after being in a terrible wreck like that. Cameron H. writes a very big post where he reveals some interesting notes about Jessica Biel's character, but I pinpointed one part of his argument that I thought was good, not about Jessica Biel, but about this dumb line, which goes back to what we just talked about Alaska. I'm so glad that Charlie brought up Welcome to Alaska. That line, I get it. In an action movie, whether dumb or cool, you can't simply blow something up without having something pithy to say. But in context, Welcome to Alaska makes no sense. Seriously, what the fuck is that even supposed to mean? Were his foster parents from Alaska? Until a couple hours ago, he didn't even know that place existed. He's on their turf. They're the ones from Alaska. Shouldn't that be their line? Where does he get off welcoming them to their own place? I don't know why that makes me laugh, but it really does. It's so stupid. Well, these are great. And I have to say, what I really like about this week's corrections and omissions is simply the fact that there are so many good people here. You know, I got to say that Lewis Jabb just really breaks down the dumbness of the sentient AI right quickly with his note. But I think the thing that I really am kind of connecting to on this, the one that I feel like really underscores the whole movie is, man, it's tough. I mean, Cameron H. made me laugh really hard, but I gotta say, I like the fact, I'm going all over the place. You know what? Fuck it. Lewis Jabb, you won. That's right. You won. You knew. I liked your point. You did it. Lewis Jabb, you're the winner.
You win.
Yay!
Hey, everybody, we have to take a quick commercial break right now, but I want to tell you about something very exciting. So that should keep you interested. Okay, we're back, and you know what? I am out of town right now. We are experiencing a slight family emergency, so I am away. So I don't have my fan creations mailbag section here of the show, but what I do have is a gift for you. That's right, some more movie bitches. You heard them last week. They took down a new movie out in the theaters, and this week they're going to go full on Statham. Check out Avril and Andrew as they take on The Mechanic. That's right, the Jason Statham movie, The Mechanic. Take a listen.
So tonight we are reviewing Mechanic Resurrection. So I was excited for this movie because it looked absolutely camp-tastic.
The first piece of action in this entire film is him
flipping a table,
into a woman's face and then punching her in the face.
And then he slams a guy's head into like a table full of oysters and then grabs the shucking knife and stabs another man's hand into his back. It was crazy.
But
everyone in the theater was just like, ooh. It was great.
Basically, the opening scene is fucking amazing. And then the movie decides that you care about Jason Statham and Jessica Alba's romance.
Also, the worst, lamest sex scene. And it was rated R. Why didn't you just have her pound the fuck out of her? I don't understand. At least have them take their clothes off, show me his ass, and show me some of her side boob. It was so weird. They dry humped. They were frottaging, I think is the term.
It felt like it was directed by two different people. The second AD directed all the crazy, stupid, hilarious action, and I was like, I love this.
Right.
And then the other director was like, oh, he's getting another video chat from Jessica Alba.
Who cares?
Remember when he's escaping from the Malaysian prison and he takes his shirt off and then rubs no sharp shark repellent all over its muscles? So they make this whole big deal about how it's shark-infested waters and how is it gonna get out of there? We never see a shark.
No, we did see a shark. You didn't see the shark?
It was? Did I fall asleep?
No, it wasn't like a close encounter. It was like a, ooh, I dove in. Oh, there's a shark behind me. Oh, it turned away. That no shark really worked.
I wanted to love this movie.
I did too.
I loved the first 4 minutes. And there was parts of it that were fun, but on
but for the most part, it's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
So cheers to Shark Off.
Cheers to
No Shark.
To No Shark.
Amazing. I want to see The Mechanic, even though they hate it so much. You can check them out at their YouTube channel. That is Movie Bitches, or follow them on Twitter at Movie Bitches. If you ever want to send us stuff, you can do that at Earwolf Media, LLC, 5629 Hollywood Boulevard, Suite 66, Los Angeles, California, 90028. Now, what's my pick of the week? Well, you know what, people, I've been a little bit busy. I haven't had a chance to really, really, pick something amazing for you, but I'm gonna give you a book, that I think has been really great. It's called TV, The Book by Matt Zoller-Seitz. and Alan Siepenwall, and these are guys that I love reading over at HitFix. They're awesome. It's two experts picking the greatest TV shows of all time. It's a fucking phenomenal book. It's called TV the Book. Every show that we've ever watched, they basically debate in essay form, and they have a giant bracket. It's, if you're a fan of TV, you will love TV the Book. It's really well written. These guys, I read everything that they do, and it's entertaining. And I have to say, I kind of agree with it. And they break the book down by like classics and current. So you get to talk about The Simpsons, and you get to talk about Seinfeld, and you get to talk about Buffy, and you go all the way around the gamut. And they really, I think, create a great picture. It's an impossible task to talk about Breaking Bad and The Simpsons in the same sentence, or, you know, I Love Lucy and Cheers, or Star Trek and Mad Men. But they are able to do it in a way that I feel like comes to a very solid conclusion. And I especially like at the end of the book, just this amazing list of where all the shows of all time stack up with each other. So it's called TV the Book. Two experts pick the greatest American shows of all time. Check it out. I have it in paperback, but you can get it on Kindle too. Remember, people, you can follow us on Twitter at HDTGM. You can follow us on Facebook at HDTGM. We'll be announcing the movies for Largo the week before the movie starts. We'll be announcing the movie for Anaheim at the Now Hear This Festival, probably about the same time, a week before the movie goes up. Remember to rate and review us. Thank you for sending in all your theme song submissions, and a big thank you to Marissa, Josh, Greta, Avril, Liana, July, all the engineers, and everybody at Earwolf. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.